Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we continue a series of studies on Jeremiah, an ancient book, but powerful lessons for our lives today. The title of our study, More Woes for the Prophet, but I'd say More Great Lessons for Hope Sabbath School members. I'm glad you joined us. I want to welcome our team. Good to be together, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, it's amazing how God can take ancient words and bring lessons that can change our lives today. But it doesn't always happen easily, does it?
No.
We have to pray, God, teach me, lead me in your way. And we're glad you're with us. In fact, when you write to us, share insights you've learned, even questions you have, we're blessed too. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. Here are just a few emails we've received recently. Patience, thanks for writing from South Africa, though you're Zimbabwean. She writes and says, currently working in South Africa, I'd like to say how much Hope Sabbath School has been a blessing to my life.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
God is using you in a special way. I started watching SS Hope on satellite back home in Zimbabwe, but now I download the lesson every Friday, spend the rest of the week studying with you. I forward the lessons on WhatsApp to all of my friends and Bible study groups as well. We have a high-tech viewer in South Africa here. I can't say how much I've been blessed. Well, Patience, you've not only been blessed, you are a blessing. Sharing that with others. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's like the ripple on the pond, right?
Yes.
Here's a note from Mississippi. Thanks for writing, Roland, in the United States of America. And Roland says, my church is Jesus is the Way, Seventh-day Adventist Church. Mm-hmm. I like that. Every week I watch Hope Sabbath School. Helps me with my study. I'm a deacon in my church. Keep up the good work. God bless you all. Well, Roland, we're glad you're serving the Lord, but we're glad also you're filling your heart with the Word of God. We're happy to hear from you in Mississippi. Here's a note with no country address. We don't read the whole address, but we'd like to know the country. So if you write to us, let us know. This comes from Slane, T-S-L-A-N-E, Slane, and says, I thank God for Hope Sabbath School. My son and I watch you every week to get a better understanding of the Sabbath School lessons. We learn a lot. We love you. Well, thanks so much. We love you too. Slane, I'm not sure how to say that. There's a tss at the beginning, so you'll have to send me an email and help me. And tell us where you're watching us from. Here's one from Amos in Tanzania. Tanzania. Got to say that correctly. Here's the opportunity for me. I've decided to say thank you for the Hope Sabbath School presentations. Be blessed, all the class. I'm happy to enjoy with you every time when you're in the class. Please, if I have a question, can I ask? What's the answer?
Of course.
Of course you can. You can send us an email at sshope@hopetv.org, and we forward that. I don't have time to answer every question. We have team members that answer the questions, so we actually not only give you permission, Amos, we welcome your questions. Here's one last note from Barry in Tennessee in the United States. Barry says, I came across Hope Sabbath School a few months ago and I'm hooked. There are worse things to be hooked on, right?
Yes.
My DVR is set to record whenever Hope Sabbath School comes on. I'm both blessed and grateful to see the word being put out in such a thorough and yet orderly fashion. I especially like the multiple references for each reading. Even the scripture songs have a way of keeping me going during the day. Great to hear how far-reaching the impact is around the world. May God continue to use you and Hope Sabbath School till He comes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's my favorite Hebrew word, you know. Hallelujah. Barry, thanks for writing to us from Tennessee. You know what hallelujah means, right? Hallel, to praise, and Yah is the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord, and we want to praise the Lord for each one of you, part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We've been learning a scripture song for this series on Jeremiah. It's actually the word of the Lord taken out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verses 11 to 13. It's a beautiful promise. If you haven't learned it yet, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can download the MP3 file and the sheet music. Sing it in your Bible study group. I hope you've learned it. Let's sing it together now.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will see.
You know, if someone just wrote those words, you'd say, that's a beautiful message. But that is actually the word of the Lord, recorded by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29. Just think about that. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, Sean. I know the thoughts I think toward you, Wilbur and Leah. Put your name in there. And you just have to use my favorite Hebrew word, right? Just have to say hallelujah. And for each one of us, wherever you're watching from around the world, God has a plan for you. It's a good plan to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. And as we study today, the woes for the prophet Jeremiah, there's also some encouraging words for us today as we listen to the Lord with a humble spirit and a willing heart to be led by Him. Let's pray that God would guide us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for our Hope Sabbath School members all around the world. We pray you would bless each one. We thank you that you are leading us into a deeper understanding of how much you love us and that you want to give each one of us a future and a hope. As we study your word today, we pray for supernatural blessings. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 23, and we're going to see a description of what the religious leaders were like in the time of the prophet Jeremiah, and then compare that to what Jesus wants leaders to look like. It's quite a startling contrast. And Jonathan, I wonder if you begin our study today in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 13 and 14.
All right, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 13, I saw that the prophets of Samaria were terribly evil, for they prophesied in the name of Baal and led my people of Israel into sin. But now I see that the prophets of Jerusalem are even worse. They commit adultery and love dishonesty. They encourage those who are doing evil so that no one turns away from their sins. These prophets are as wicked as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah once were.
Is that a startling rebuke? Not only are they doing evil, but what?
Turning to
encouraging others.
They're turning others and encouraging other people to do evil. Yes. Look at one more verse. We don't want to dwell on their failings, but Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 26 through 31. Leah, maybe you could read that for us, starting in verse 26 of Jeremiah 5. Another description, again, not just Jeremiah's opinion, but guided by the Spirit to give this stern description of what's going on.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Jeremiah 5, verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat, and they are sleek. Yes, they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy they do not defend. Shall I not punish them for these things, says the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end?
You know, if you're just reading down till verse 30, you go, yeah, there are some bad people out there. But then it comes right to verse 31, and it, who's right there at the front of the list?
Prophets, priests.
And priests.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Prophesying falsely and ruling by their own power. It sounds really tragic, Ulrich.
To what we just read in the previous passage, where it says the priests and the prophets were not corrupting the people, turning the people to their corrupt ways.
Right.
Now we see here Jeremiah says the people love it so. So in essence, the entire nation was so caught up in this apostasy that they love what the priests and the prince were doing.
So you've kind of got this cycle of apostasy now. They've led the people astray,
right,
and now the people are supporting their apostasy too. Now, how does that compare with how Jesus asked the spiritual leaders to be? Do you remember? Here the priests are ruling by their own power. Anybody remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10? Let's take a look and see. We're coming back, of course, to Jeremiah, but I love the words of Jesus. And Jason, if you have that in Mark 10, beginning with verse 42, startling contrast. Let's see what it says.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. This is Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. And the Bible says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'"
You know, I love the word radical. I like to use that word. But that's kind of a radical picture, isn't it?
Yes.
It certainly turns what we read in the rebukes of Jeremiah upside down.
That's right.
Yes, Jonathan?
Just the last part where it says, "give your life a ransom for many." I mean, that seems like there's a lot of times, if you're truly going to be a leader, like we're talking about leaders and the challenge of it, I mean, if you're truly going to be a leader in times where there's real issues going on, you really do have to come to a point where you are willing to give up of all of your identity and to face issues in a way that people might totally think you're wrong. I mean, like, you might have a whole people that's thinking, oh, this is the way to worship God, or a weird distortion of him.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great...
The word sacrifice comes to mind. Huh?
Yeah.
Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me,
yes,
is not without sacrifice.
Yes.
Jason?
I notice here the word slave, which is fascinating, because even in our secular society today, we've tried to do away basically with slavery, because slavery is the lowest you can go. So this is basically saying you should be at the lowest in society that you can possibly be.
Mm-hmm. It's the idea that you've set your own agenda aside and you're serving someone else.
That's right.
Fortunately, Jesus will say, "I don't call you slaves, but friends," right?
Yes.
So, but we're willing to lay it all down, right? Back to what you were saying.
Yeah, and you have to be willing to give up of your own self-concept and what other people think about you, and that can be tough.
I think the apostles actually heard that from Jesus.
Right.
Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 5. Ulrich, maybe you could read for us 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 4. You know, Peter was a fisherman, and sometimes he'd speak without thinking. But he finally, I think he got the message that Jesus was trying to convey.
Yes.
Now we're going to come back to see what it's like in Jeremiah's time, but it's obviously not what God intended.
Reading 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4 from the New King James Version. "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.
He's the chief shepherd, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of under shepherds.
Right.
But you're serving. There's this eye. And remember what Jesus said about the good shepherd? What's the good shepherd willing to do?
Leave his life.
Yeah, back to that sacrifice element, laying down his life. So I want you to do a scan through Scripture and maybe even through the history of the Christian movement. Who comes to your mind that you say, that woman, that man was a true servant leader? Is it someone that jumps out for you, Puya?
Moses.
Okay. Mm. Being willing, even back to Jonathan's thing about sacrifice, if necessary, blot my name out of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Give them grace, give them mercy. Mm. All right? By the way, was Moses perfect?
No.
Just in case you thought you had to be perfect to be a servant leader. All right, someone else come to your mind. You say, she was a servant leader, he was a servant leader. Yes.
Paul.
Okay.
I mean, basically completely flip-flopped his life and his agenda and now was traveling the known world to share the good news. But I think especially in his, was it in the Romans when he talked about his burning desire to see his people saved?
Sure.
And he's willing to have his name blotted out so that, same as Moses, he would rather have them, if they could be saved by him giving up his salvation, he would do it.
And if I understand correctly, Saul of Tarsus was kind of a rising star, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Maybe even in the Sanhedrin or heading in that direction. I mean, he had a great religious future, mm-hmm. but he abandoned it all for the sake of Jesus. Wilbur.
Yeah, I thought of Samuel and maybe David. But what I was thinking was that with them, at least from childhood, they learned to follow. And you have to learn to follow so you get to a point where you can be a leader. And I thought that was key.
Very interesting. Well, I thought of a Christian leader during the Christian church. A person that came to my mind was John Wesley. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to preach. My father's family was from Wales, and the Wesleys went and preached there in the south of Wales. And, you know, when Wesley died, he had about 10 shillings to his name, didn't he? I mean, he said, consider me a robber and a thief if there's more than that. Mm-hmm. Because it was not about amassing some religious fortune and driving gold-plated cars, right? We see that today sometimes, don't we?
Yeah. Mm.
Sacrifice. We could get onto that whole discussion, but I'm going to go back to Jeremiah. But do you see the contrast between the way the prophets and the priests are? And so, God, you would expect, would tell Jeremiah, I've got a message of rebuke. And Sean, if you could take us back to Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah, he's like, okay, they're not going to like this, right? They're going to like compliments like, oh, you're so powerful. But what's the message there you read in Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 1 and 2?
So I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it says, now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord.
So I just told them the truth, and I got punched in the mouth and thrown in the stocks. Mm. By who?
Chief priest.
Mm.
By the religious leader.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Chief governor.
Chief governor. Yeah, the one who should be the servant, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that kind of abusive behavior remind you of another story in the Scripture?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus, right. Mm-hmm. Look in John chapter 18. And I'm interested in how Jesus responds to the violence. Juliana, John 18, verses 19 through 23. Let's see what it says.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?"
Jeremiah could have said that too, right? Yes. I just spoke the truth that the Lord God told me to say. Why are you hitting me? Why are you throwing me in the stocks? We read in a previous study that all who live in this godly lives will suffer persecution, right?
Yes.
They persecuted me, Jesus said. They'll persecute you. So we're going to talk about how to brace ourselves for that.
Yeah, it seems like if you were in either in Jeremiah's time or certainly in Christ's time, it seems if you're in a situation and the leaders of the organization are saying you're evil and you're whatever, it seems like that would have made it tough for people in that time to like. So I guess the question of how do we hold on to truth even when we're kind of have that opposition?
Sure, yeah. Sure. Can you think of other characters besides Jeremiah and Jesus, Bible characters, who suffered abuse simply for saying what was true? Well, you think about that. Ulrich, you had your hand raised.
John the Baptist lost his life because he pointed out a grievous misconduct that he thought that Herod was undertaking in taking his own brother's wife. And he was thrown in prison and then subsequently beheaded just for speaking the truth.
Right, right. This is the son of Herod the Great. Herod Antipas is in an affair with his brother's wife. And John says, that's not right.
That's right.
He rebukes him for that sin.
Well, the apostles, at the end of their lives, they were spreading the gospel, and they all lost their lives in the most gruesome way, tradition tells us, and simply for sharing the good news.
So we should perhaps not be surprised that Jeremiah gets hit.
Yeah,
does it not surprise you, though, Adrian, that it's one of the leaders who punches him in the face? what does that tell us about what's going on in Judah at that time? Jason, what do you think?
It shows us that the corruption has reached even all the way to the highest levels of authority.
Yeah, it's a troubling picture indeed. Well, the apostles, you're right, suffered similarly. I was thinking of Peter and John, too, boldly proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. Right. And where do they end up?
In jail.
Prison.
They're thrown into prison.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone here suffered? It's tricky, isn't it? Because you don't want to be offensive or rude to people. Then they might just be mean because you're being rude. But you just share truth, and you get this kind of backlash, negative reaction. Anybody experienced that, or are you just looking forward to that in the future, Daisy?
Well, I did. It was a slightly different thing. One of my friends asked me to be honest with her about what I thought about her.
Okay.
And, like, things she was doing
Speak
in her
the truth.
Life. Yeah, tell her the truth, which I did. And the reaction I got back from her, I became her worst enemy after saying that. And I was shocked because I'm like, I thought you wanted the truth, which is what I gave you. But yes, she got very upset at me and wouldn't talk to me anymore. So it's amazing how the truth becomes something you don't want because it's not what you want to hear. Then it brings out this hate towards the person who's bearing that truth.
Wow. Anyone else experience that? Puya?
I have not experienced physical abuse, but there were times when, you know, as a group of friends, we'll try to reach out to people and, you know, visit them, pray with them, you know, try to make a spiritual matter conversation. They will close their doors when they learn that we're trying to, you know, talk to them about Jesus and all. They will be very friendly if we're, you know, talking about any other things like soccer or any other stuff, sports, you know. But when it comes to the Bible and stuff like that, some people are just closed. They don't want to hear and they don't want to talk to us.
But like Daisy said, we can't lie if they've asked us to tell the truth. And certainly God is asking Jeremiah to tell the truth, right?
Sure.
And he does. Nathan?
I once had to gently correct someone, a leader in a church that I pastored, because of a behavior that was going on, and it did cost me in a way afterward, because then that leader became an enemy.
There is a choice. They could repent, not, just like your friend, yeah, when you told her the truth, right? They could say, thank you, the wounds of a friend are, what does it say, pleasant? I don't
faithful.
Know. The,
faithful.
Faithful, yeah. But if they don't want to receive that, they could actually become an enemy to you,
started
right?
working against me. Yeah.
Well, Jeremiah certainly, he had some boldness in him. We want to listen in Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 3 to 6. And I guess the Holy Spirit does that. I don't particularly feel that bold. But I think the Holy Spirit can make us bold. Do you think that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Jeremiah, I don't know that he was just naturally bold. But let's look in Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 3 through 6. Daisy, if you could read that for us.
Sure, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The next day, when Pashur finally released him, Jeremiah said, Pashur, the Lord has changed your name. From now on, you are to be called the man who lives in terror. For this is what the Lord says, I will send terror upon you and all your friends, and you will watch as they are slaughtered by the word, by the swords of the enemy. I will hand the people of Judah over to the king of Babylon. He will take them captive to Babylon to run them through the sword, and I will let your enemies plunder Jerusalem. For all the famed treasures of the city, the precious jewels and gold and silver of your kings will be carried off to Babylon. As for you, Pashur, you and all your household will go as captives to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you prophesied that everything would be all right.
My Bible says, with whom you prophesied lies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
This is the same fellow that just had thrown him into prison. And now he's like really telling it very straight. Now we'll look a little later, and he doesn't seem quite as bold, but really bold here by the Holy Spirit, I think, right? Mm-hmm. By the Holy Spirit. Yes, Ulrich.
I think something is very key here that Jeremiah mentions to him, based on all that was going on in the nation at that time with the apostasy, you know, the wickedness of the priests and princesses and prophets. He says to Pashur, you are not called by the Lord. And that was very serious, because in those days, people know if you are anointed or called by God, there was something special about you. So when Jeremiah pronounced upon him, you are not called by the Lord, in essence, he's simply saying to him that, Pashur, the fruits in your life bears evidence that your calling is not of the Lord, because Jesus used this same principle when he says a prophet will be known by his fruits.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to come to the boldness issue, because here Jeremiah is pretty bold. Wouldn't you agree?
Right.
I mean, you know, he tells him the truth in spite of the fact he's already been persecuted and intimidated by him. I want you to think of other characters in the Bible that exhibited that kind of boldness to speak the truth, and then tell me where that boldness comes from. But let's talk about some examples. Anybody else come to your mind? You go, wow, that kind of boldness sounds like
Elijah.
Sean? Like
Elijah.
Elijah, okay.
You know, he spoke boldly. He proved that God is God this day. And then, you know, maybe a couple of hours later, he's running for his life for
but
fear.
But at least in the beginning, he's bold, right?
He's bold. Mm-hmm.
Where he talks about not halting between two opinions. Juliana?
Esther.
Esther, okay.
When she had to go in front of the king, that was a very bold action. And then after the second feast that she had with the king and Haman, she had to speak very boldly to the king to say, no, this man is trying to kill me and my people.
It's interesting that even before she goes to the king, Mordecai has been telling her what to do all along, but now she tells him what to do. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, in a polite way, she says, let's pray 3 days, right? You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
No eating, drinking,
yes.
And then I'll go. So you see this boldness rising up in Esther? All right, Missy.
Stephen,
before he gets stoned, he gives this amazing speech. Mm. And I know it was the power of the Holy Spirit that was giving him the words that were just amazing. I mean, his clarity of thought was impressive.
And even a revelation of the Son of God standing
yes.
by the right hand of the throne. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of examples of people with boldness. Do you remember the one in Acts 13? Let's just look at it for a minute. I mentioned this because I believe that God wants to give each one of us, and to you watching today, He wants to give you boldness even when people are attacking you. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that boldness comes by the Holy Spirit. Puya, do you have Acts 13 there? Yes. Verses 6 through 11, Paul traveling comes to Paphos, right? Mm-hmm. And let's see how the story unfolds.
I'm reading from the New King James Version, Acts 13, verses 6 to 11. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name is translated, which stood them seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O fool of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked about some people who were bold. Certainly Jeremiah in the passage we read was bold. Yeah. Esther was bold. Peter was bold on the day of Pentecost. Here, Paul, and embedded in there was the secret. What was it? Did you hear it?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, so I have a question for you, because we're wanting to learn lessons from Jeremiah here. Should we pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit each day so that we can be bold for God?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
But wait a minute. Jonathan's going, "I think maybe we should be prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, whatever God wants to do."
Yes.
I saw that little quizzical look there.
I guess just to me, the question of what of making sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, because I mean, there's many people that feel compelled to say tough things, but they're not. They're not filled with God's love,
and right.
mm-hmm. it can be deceiving. Sometimes you can think you're called to do something. So I think very much making sure that we have God's character and His love and His mm-hmm. running.
It's interesting because Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and sometimes He said, "There's many things I'd tell you, but you cannot bear them now." So maybe sometimes being filled with the Spirit will make you silent.
Yeah.
And other times will make you say something bold.
Mm-hmm. I think in this situation there in Acts 13, you had a person who was wanting to know about Jesus, seeking
yes.
the truth. He's called an intelligent man,
sure.
and he's seeking to hear the word of God. Then you have somebody who's trying to get in the way of the work of,
right.
of the Lord and steer this soul aside. And so that required boldness.
Yes.
And that's why God
and speech,
gave it to
and
him.
And speech, right? Mm-hmm. Not just silence.
And so the situation demanded it,
sure.
and that's why God
And that's where the
that
wisdom
boldness.
Of the Spirit comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Sean?
Yeah, I was just going to say, sometimes actions speak louder than words. So the lifestyle that you live can be very bold day by
sure,
day
sure.
before anyone even hears a sermon from
you. But if you're filled with the Spirit, sometimes He may say, "You have to speak now," right?
Yes.
Because
yes.
of what's happening. Missy?
If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are not going to speak out of turn. Hmm. You're not going to say something that's going to be damaging to someone, but edifying. That's one thing we have to keep in mind.
Let your speech always be with grace.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Seasoned with salt.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Well, Jeremiah had some boldness there, but let's go on to Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 15 through 18. Adrian, I'm wondering if you could read that for us, starting in Jeremiah 20 and verse 15 down through verse 18. A little snapshot of what's happening for the prophet.
All right, I'm reading from the New International Version. "Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child is born to you, a son.' May that man be like the towns, the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the wound, with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. When I did ever come out the womb, to see trouble and sorrow, and to end my days in shame.
How would you diagnose his condition here?
Depression.
He's depressed, isn't he? I mean, he's clinically depressed, right? Why? What? You know, we have this expression in English, it got to me. What got to him? What's happened, Adrian?
I think he's becoming discouraged because of all the opposition that he's getting. Kind of like what Daisy spoke of, her friend kind of like became enemies. And so the opposition discouraged him.
So is it natural then that when we proclaim the truth that God has given us to share, that we would like people to listen, say, sure. Amen, hallelujah, right? Mm-hmm. Is that natural?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
I think Jesus wanted that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. So how do we handle the fact that sometimes it's just kind of shoved right back in our faces? Mm-hmm. By the way, Jeremiah's not the only one who said, I wish I was never born, right? Anybody else come to your mind?
Job,
right? Yeah. He's not going to curse God, though, is he?
No.
Anybody else? Elijah? You mentioned Elijah, Sean, earlier, didn't you?
Yep.
You know, just let me die, right. You know. This man needs medication. Actually, what he needs is some good sleep and some good nutrition. Remember what the angel does for him, right? Uh-huh. But there are several examples, lest you think it couldn't happen to us. Mm-hmm. God, I just did what you asked me to do. Mm. And look how they acted. Mm-hmm. Jonathan?
I think on that point, the importance of, as one of the previous verses was saying, of getting our reward from God, and being, so that is who we are looking to for reward, and not the fact that everyone else around us thinks we're off our rockers or whatever, but we know we're following Him.
Right.
That's our reward.
And it, back to Sean's illustration with Elijah, even when we feel like we're the only one, there are actually many others that are following God, right? Mm-hmm. We just can't see them right now, right. And they don't seem to be right around us supporting us. Mm-hmm. So I have a question for you. When we're doing this work that God's asked us to do, and Jeremiah was trying, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He gave a clear message to this corrupt leader. Mm-hmm. He gets thrown in jail, you know, he gets abused. How do we keep that focus that you talked about, Jonathan? How do we keep that? There is a text in Psalm, isn't there, about Psalm 16? Is it verse 8, I've set the Lord always before me? Mm-hmm. How do we do that, Nathan?
I think one of the things that's important and what's helpful to me is to remember when I am treated that way, that they're not rejecting me personally, they're rejecting the message. You know, when you're...
Not easy, though, is it?
It's not easy. We have to remember that it's not personal, though. Yeah. And that's true with, I mean, certainly it's most important that we apply it when we're witnessing, but it's true with many things. You can have a difference of opinion on many different topics with somebody and not take it personally, right? But when you are going on the Lord's business and when you're serving in His capacity or in that capacity for Him, then when you're rejected, you have to realize they're rejecting the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to look at them through the eyes of Jesus and try to realize here's a soul that needs to be saved, and don't lose your temper and blow up and get back.
Back to what you said, Jonathan, remembering who I am. Someone told me one time, you are not what people say about you. You are a beloved child of God. So keep remembering who I am. I don't know, it feels that great, does it? But it doesn't have to overwhelm me. Daisy?
Yeah, we also have to keep in mind that we're in a warfare. So things are not always going to go our way. We have the good side and the opposing side, which is the evil side. So when God is trying to do His good purpose, Satan is also going to counteract that good and come up with something, which, of course, will not always be something. It's definitely not going to be something that would make us happy.
Sure.
So when we get that kind of negative reaction, we should understand that this is the enemy at work.
So instead of saying, oh, woe is me, I can say, oh, the kingdom of darkness is panicking. God's making progress here, right? Mm-hmm. Different way of looking at it.
Right.
Ulrich.
One important thing that we ought to do during such a time is pray. Because you pray for that strengthening. You pray for God's guidance to guide you through this moment and, you know, what to say or when to say it. And, you know, just embrace his counsel and his way instead of looking at your own way of doing things. That's why the scripture says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding.
Proverbs 3 and verse 5.
Right. So when you lean on your own understanding and look at yourself,
all is lost.
You know, your weaknesses, your frailty comes out there and you become discouraged. But when your eyes are on the Lord and your heart is set to do what is to glorify Him, then through prayer you can be strengthened to overcome.
One of my favorite preachers said, when I look at myself, I don't see how I can make it. Mm-hmm. When I look at Jesus, I don't see how I can lose.
Yeah. Amen.
Different perspective, right?
Amen.
Now, this focus that you talked about with prayer, remembering who I am, there's another verse that is precious to me. Maybe you've heard it about whatever things are true. Do you remember that verse?
Philippians 4.
In Philippians 4. Would someone be willing to read that for us?
Yes.
Maybe a Hope Sabbath School member has never heard that one before. All right,
one of my favorite passages.
It's one of your favorites. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Mm-hmm. My wife actually wrote a scripture song so that I could remember all of the things that are important to focus on. But it is a question of focus, just like Ulrich was saying and Jonathan was saying too. Philippians 4, verse 8.
I'm reading from the NIV.
Could you start with verse 6 for us?
Okay.
6 through 8. Is that okay? Start
sure.
to be anxious. Because it's don't do this, but do this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So let's look at all of those.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Anyone have another Amen. Translation besides think about?
Meditate.
Meditate? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like focus, right? Mm-hmm. Focus. Mm-hmm. Like setting the Lord before you. Puya.
I want to read another verse from Hebrew 12, verse 2.
Okay.
About focus.
All right, great. Hebrews chapter 12.
Verse 2.
And verse 2. You're talking here, when we're experiencing these challenges, and we could be tempted to feel overwhelmed, right?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've got to make sure our focus is in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Hebrews
chapter
12.
Verse 2.
And verse 2.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm. I heard one translation, fixing your eyes on Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
It's not just take a look at Jesus, you know, it's focus, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fixing your eyes. Now I'm going to give you a chance to share from your experience. And I want to speak to our Hope Sabbath School members around the world too. If you've got an experience where you were tempted to just feel overwhelmed by the challenge, And by the grace of God, you heard His call to focus on Him, and God brought strength to you in the midst of that. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'll share it with the team. Someone said, can I make a comment during the discussion? Answer, send us an email. But we can share here right now a time when you're like, this is too much for me. But you're like, focus, and God brings the strength that you need. Anybody have a story you'd like to share? Yes, Jason.
A few years ago, I got the chance to be a student missionary in another country. And it was a big challenge at first because I was in a culture I didn't understand, a language I didn't know, and I had to teach kids, which I'd never been a teacher before. And I was feeling overwhelmed, and there wasn't really any training. They literally threw me into the room, 25 kids, and said, all right, teach. And I had a book, and I had to, you know, go for it. And the kids, they spoke sort of broken English. So it was a huge challenge, and very quickly I became overwhelmed. And every night I would just come home, and would just stand there by my bed and I'd just be praying. And then what I would do, what was most encouraging, was listening to godly spiritual music that really strengthened me, and then opening the Bible, particularly the Psalms, and reading about David and the various troubles he went through. And as I read how David felt and how God gave him victory, it gave strength for me, and I was able to learn how to work with the kids and be a good and successful teacher.
Awesome. What a powerful testimony. Someone else. This is just real life. Real life. I don't have to say I was fighting 17 lions and, you know, it's just real life things, right? Mm-hmm. Where we learn to depend. Daisy and then John.
Yeah, this is kind of different. I don't know how I feel about sharing it, but I know it probably benefits somebody watching. This is when I was single. Of course, you get to a certain age, especially with my culture, you're expected to get married. And if you're not getting married, there's so much pressure from family members and friends that, oh, you need to get married, get married. But I knew the seriousness of marriage. I was not going to just marry anybody because divorce rates are so high, all this craziness. So I told God, God, I'm depending on you to choose a partner for me. And I had been
Somebody say amen. Is that awesome?
Yes.
I hope there's like 500,000 single people around the world going, oh! So you're saying, God, I'm looking to you to guide
me. Right, to guide me. And I had been in a relationship before that I knew was not from God, and I had to get out of it. And now I look back. It took me 5 years, 5 to 6 years, before I finally met my husband. And sometimes I look back and I'm like, if I knew it was going to take me 6 years, I probably wouldn't have. But keeping focused on God and knowing that God would not withhold anything good from me kept me focused on Him, that God, I'm looking to you. Find me that one, and I know all the glory and honor will go to you, and I'll always testify of what you did for me. And sure enough, keeping focused on Him, God, of course, was faithful till the end. So to anybody who's probably in the same situation, just stay focused on God. Marriage is from God. It's not a man-made thing. So
sure.
He will surely see you there.
And tying it in with the challenge that Jeremiah faced, those years that followed that courageous decision of not just going into a relationship that didn't seem to be what God wanted. Those were not easy years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe sometimes it felt more like a desert than a garden,
right? Oh, yeah. It's not an easy thing. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. It can be depressing sometimes, but whenever you feel depressed, you just got to get on your knees and pray, my God, just give me the strength to keep holding on until the time is right.
So, the big smile means that the time was right. You've been married now for a little while, right?
Yeah.
But it ties in with what Puya said about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sean, an experience where you were tempted to just feel overwhelmed and you said, I've got to look to the source of my strength.
Well, it was when I was trying to finish school, and I've been in school for a long time. So, you know, you're getting anxious. I had a job offer, and I just wanted to get out. And the struggle is really with myself. You know, your advisor's telling you, hey, you have to finish this, you have to do these things. And I'm like, I don't want to do any of this. And it just seemed like it was piling up on me. And the one thing that got me through was my mother had a dream about me. Mm. And it was a dream where she saw me struggling and she said, you struggled 3 times. And the third time you just blasted out of the room. And I'm looking at my mother, I'm like, okay, but it literally happened that way. 3 times I struggled. The third time, I was complete with my education. I was able to move, have a new job. And I just had to focus on my mother's godly dream that, you know, this is what
so
you
God
have to
God had brought
do.
A word to you through someone who was listening and willing.
And praying for me.
And praying for you. Mm-hmm. Some would say thank God for
Amen.
A praying mothers, right?
Amen. Amen.
And so even when you were maybe a little distracted from your focus, your mom helped you.
Yeah.
Come on back. That's beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that Jeremiah testified is that if you do have a living connection with God, which is what He wants for all of us, mm-hmm. and He gives you something to say, you don't really have a lot of choice about whether to say it or not. I want to explore that, and then what does that mean and what doesn't it mean? So let's look in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. And then we'll look at some parallel ideas in 1 Corinthians 9:16 and Amos 3, 7 and 8. These are all prophets speaking. And just an interesting insight in Jeremiah 20. And Leah, do you have that? Jeremiah 20 and verse 9?
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not.
So at first he goes, after all the mean things people have done to me, I'm just not going to say anything. You know, and he held that for who knows how long, you know, 7 seconds. But it was like,
burning.
Couldn't contain it, right? Wow. Does that remind you of any other testimony?
When Jesus was with the two disciples after he had died and walking on the road, and he ate with them, and then he broke the bread, which is like the word of God, and then after that, they couldn't contain themselves.
Ah, that's right. Wow. They talked about their hearts burning within them, and they have to go tell someone, right?
That's right.
A couple of other verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, that's Paul, and Amos 3, the prophet Amos the shepherd. They could relate to what Jeremiah was saying. Adrian, do you have 1 Corinthians?
Yes, I do.
Chapter 9 and verse 16.
I'm reading from the New International Version. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel.
I'm compelled. Going to come back to that. Mm-hmm. Sounds like I've lost my freedom. Amos chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, back in the Old Testament. He was a shepherd, Amos, called to be a prophet. Not an easy book to find. Did you find it, Jason?
Yes.
All right. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8.
Amos, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?
Okay? Lion roars, you shake.
Yeah.
God speaks, you prophesy, right? So help me with this, Jonathan. It's almost like they've lost their freedom, like they just have to do it. What do you think? I read in the Bible, God seems to always honor our freedom. Yeah, what do you hear in all of this? Like, you know, it's like a burning fire within me, or...
It sounds more to me like passion and just the desire to see God's word. Like, you see people in need, you see people around you, and this message will make a difference, and it's what they need to hear. And it's like, okay, Lord,
so it's
they've
not
got
an
to hear
overriding
it.
Of your free will.
No.
But it's like not containable, huh? Missy, what do you think?
I believe timing is everything for God. In my life, I can remember there were times when I had felt impressed to do something, the Spirit of God telling me to go somewhere or say something, and I didn't listen. And in retrospect, I could see, okay, now I know why God wanted me to do such and such a thing at such a time. So if God is impelling us to do something, it's because someone else, I believe, will get a blessing from it.
So God knows the timing.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to force us.
Mm-hmm.
Is he? What do you think, Ulrich?
I remember there's a scripture where Jesus quotes when he cleansed the temple. He said, zeal for your house has consumed me.
The disciples quoted that about him.
Right. About Jesus.
Right.
It seems that when you have this holy zeal for the things of God, and the fear of God is in you, where you just, you know, love and adore him, and you just hate the sight of, you know, wickedness.
Right.
When God brings a word to you, it's very difficult to stay silent because you have that holy zeal for him.
It's like, Nathan, I think, Pooh, you were talking about with Elymas, you know, someone was blocking the word of God from getting through to someone, and Paul just couldn't be quiet. You son of the devil, you know. He just couldn't contain himself, right?
That's pretty sharp.
But remember the text in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, just so we don't think that we just kind of get taken over. A passion I like, conviction, zeal, but a willingness of our heart. What's that text in Isaiah 6? You have it there, Puya?
Yes, I do.
Chapter 6 and verse 8.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me.
A choice, right?
Yes.
Now, he's going to need supernatural intervention. He's going to have his lips touched and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. But he's made a choice to cooperate with
That's
God.
Right.
Jonathan?
Yes.
It seems like maybe just the symbol of the lips being touched. It's like when we are filled with God's, filled with his heart, with having his heart for the people around us, in it, so that his message becomes in us. I think that's the symbol of burning within us.
This, okay. Yes.
It's like, oh man, I've got to help these people. I've got to warn them. I've got to.
So give me, we got just a couple of minutes left. Give me a promise that encourages you if you say, okay, Lord, I'm willing. All right. I'm here on Hope Sabbath School, right? I'm willing. I know some people are going to oppose that. Some people may criticize me, ridicule me, but I'm going to keep focused on you and I'm going to move forward. Or give me a promise that could encourage me as I follow, which we believe to be God's plan for each one of our lives.
God simply, you know, says to us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we set our heart to follow his way, he says his spirit guides us. So we have that comfort that in whatever endeavor we undertake, and even when we go out to proclaim the gospel and we find opposition, the Lord in Jeremiah 33 in verse 3 says, you know, I will reveal many things to you.
You know, I love that verse you quoted from Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. The next verse says, the Lord is my helper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What shall I fear? Mm-hmm. What can man do to me?
Yeah.
It's like, come on, let's go, right? Puya.
To me, it's the promise that Jesus gave to his disciples just before he went up to heaven. He
just said, paraphrase it for us.
I'm always with you even unto the end of the age.
Matthew 28, Amen. Verse 20. Amen. I'm always with you even to the end of the age. God has a great plan for you. I can't promise you that everybody will be delighted to hear the truth that you share. I can't promise you that even some people that you wish would stand for truth will actually oppose you. But I can promise you this, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Yeah. You fill your mind with his word, just like you talked about, Jason, those promises in your heart. The Spirit will bring them to your remembrance and you will say, I will not fear. Yeah. What can people do to me? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's pray for that holy boldness to be the women of God, the men of God that God's calling us to be, even in this generation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the inspiration of this study of the prophet Jeremiah. We know that the boldness only comes from you by your Spirit. We know that just as he suffered opposition, so will we. But we pray that we would keep our eyes fixed upon you, that we would remember who we are, who we've been called to be, and that we would be faithful to that mission. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today, studying about Jeremiah. We've got many more lessons to learn because God, just like he used Jeremiah, he wants to use you. Be strong and courageous. Take the message that you've heard about a God who wants to give us a future and a hope and share it with those around you.